We are back for the 273rd time. Welcome to the Parish of the Patriots. All of you returning members of the congregation, it's good to have you back. I appreciate y'all coming back week after week. It's nice to know that for 273 times, the show doesn't suck to the point that you don't ever, I'm not listening to that ever again. Or maybe you're just gluttons for punishment. I don't think that's the case. I do appreciate you joining us. I am glad to have y'all back week in and week out. If by some chance you're a new listener, you found the show, however you found it, I appreciate you being here as well. We do have a Christian-specific segment, the sermon, if you would. That's roughly the halfway point of the show, very roughly sometimes. I encourage you to stick around for it. Don't say, I don't care about that. I'm not interested in that. Give it at least one listen, and then you can say, after that, you can decide. Even if you're a non-believer, you're welcome. You don't have to. You've been warned. If it's going to cause some kind of like epileptic fit, if you hear something about Jesus Christ, then you know, okay, maybe you shouldn't listen to it. I don't care. I don't care what you do. If you do get something out of it, drop something in the plate. We pass the offering plate around right at the beginning and get that over with. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. Drop something in. It makes a big difference to me. I really appreciate it. Every little bit helps. Every little bit helps. It is very much appreciated. If you do want to do that, look right here on the description page. I've got the ultimate privacy coin. I have snail mail. That's it. Now, there's on all these pages on Radio Albion, I wind up failing to mention this from time to time, but there are links there that say, you know, we can accept donations, and I think there's an Ethereum address, a Bitcoin address. Those are not mine. I don't have access to that. That is left over from before Sven got locked up, and I haven't taken them down because I figured if people want to put something in there, I assume he'll be able to get to that when he gets out. So, I mean, I'm not encouraging you to do that, but if you have dropped some in there, it should be fine. He should be able to get to it, and if it goes Sven, I'm fine with that. But those are not mine. And the point here is, those are not mine. I'm not doing cryptocurrency. I'm doing snail mail. You can drop something in an envelope. Anyone can figure it out. It's not hard. Nobody could say, you got to explain this mail thing. I don't understand this mail thing. It's entirely too complicated. I can't address an envelope and put something in there. I just can't do it. You can do it. I have faith. Let's see here. Let's get in the listener supporter mailbag. It is short this week. GPD, interesting times we live in. Hong Kong, Mr. T, clown world never ends. We cover clown world very much. That's one of the things that gives us a steady stream of material here at Radio Albion, is because the clownishness never stops. I always laugh. When I read an article, because I read a lot of different stuff. I do. I read things, and I'll read things by people that, you know, I really kind of admire their work. And yet, you know, they're kind of normie tier. And it's like this mystery, you know, why would these Western governments, why are they trying? It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy. Why are they doing this? Why are they replacing their own populations? Why are they doing that? I don't understand. Why are these politicians? Why are these demon rats doing this? And it's just like, well, maybe because they don't represent the people that they say they represent. Maybe they don't work for. Maybe this whole democracy thing. Maybe they marketed something to us is doing something that it doesn't actually do. You know, it's kind of like people get scammed. You know, they get scammed. They say, oh, download this program, it's gonna help you, I don't know, make $1 million or whatever the hell else. And the program's actually a virus designed to, I don't, mine Bitcoin on your computer. But they didn't tell you that. If they said, hey, download this so it'll mine Bitcoin in the background and bog your poor computer down and burn it up, and I'll get all the Bitcoin. They're not going to tell you that. They're going to tell you, oh, it does something else. But it's a lie. You see, they tell you, oh, this computer program, download it. It's totally, Click on the link. It's totally going to be great. Download it. Take a look at this. Download it. And the truth is, it's a virus or it's some kind of other program. They lie. They don't tell you up front what it does because you'd never download the program. Democracy is the same way. It's been marketed to people for years as being something like along the lines of the government is held responsible and answers to the people. The people steer the government with their votes. If a politician does not follow the will of the people will vote him out and replace him with a politician that will, and policy will get changed back to what the people desire. And in this, democracy is accountable to the people. It's a virus. Democracy. Democracy is a virus. It is. Democracy is a computer virus. Your brain is the computer, and they're downloaded a virus into all these people's brains. They think democracy is going to be something about your voting. Will of the people. Don't click on the link. I'm not. I had the virus and I got that stuff cleared off. You see, I'm all cleared up now. I'm clear now. I had the virus, but now I'm 100% clean. I'm 100% healthy here. I don't have the virus anymore. You used to buy into the democracy thing. He's got a vote. It makes it hard. It's a hard time because everybody clinging to that because they don't have anything else. We just vote harder. You know, the Trump thing, we talked about that. It's become such a personality cult. And you talk to people and they're so enthralled, you know. It's going to save everything. We're going to vote for Trump. And they like, you're going to get out there to vote for Trump and save America. They have the virus. They have, I mean, the mask isn't going to work. They've got the virus. The virus was never the COVID. The virus is democracy. It's a computer virus. The computer's everybody's brains. They downloaded the virus thinking because it was marketed to them. It's going to keep the government accountable to them. One of the most frustrating things is when you have a law on the books that's really, really stupid. Usually a state law. We're not talking federal laws. There's plenty of those that are stupid. But more than likely, you're not going to have interactions with federal law enforcement. So when you encounter a law that's stupid, it's probably one that's on the state level. And some cop pulls you over for some stupid violation. You know? Whatever the case may be, I don't know. Maybe a ridiculous speed limit. I see a lot of ridiculous speed limits. You'd be on a big, wide, open highway and a speed limit, 60 miles per hour. And you're like, why? It's a big, wide highway. This is one of the few roads in America that's actually not third world tier. Why the hell is the speed limit 60 miles an hour? And then you'll turn around, you'll be on this little, narrow, two-lane country, you know, state farm road. And there is no shoulder. And it's got big chuck holes, and the pavement is so old and deteriorated, it's crumbling apart. And speed limit, 75. It's like, I'm not doing 75 down this shitty road. You get stopped for violating some law that's stupid. And the cop is there, you know. And you know what the cops look like now. Chest mode, you know. They put that chest out. Put that chest out. It's easier because they all wear that body armor, you know. They put the chest out and come up there. They start right off trying to intimidate you. Quiet out. Make sure you see that shiny badge. They got their chest out. And they tell you, they inform you. Or perhaps they do that really stupid thing. Do you know why I stopped you? No. You tell me. No. You tell me. Or have some fun with it. I assume you stopped me because this car I'm driving is an absolute piece of shit. Did a piece of it fall off back there? Throw them for a loop. Throw them for a loop. And at some point in time, you've probably been stopped. And for some retarded rule violation. And you'll tell them, that's a stupid law. You know I'm not harming nobody. I know I'm not harming. That didn't hurt nobody. And what do they tell you? Well, if you don't like the law, contact your representative and have the law changed, buddy. I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job collecting revenue for the government. As if you're going to contact your state politician or the governor, whoever, and they're going to listen to you. If it's that way on the state level, damn sure that way on the federal level. But see, they've downloaded this computer virus, and by golly, if I call up, I go down here. You know, you drive around, and also once in a while, you'll see a sign. It'll be a sign. It'll be an arrow. It says, Office of Congressman so-and-so, and an arrow. I'll be going through some town and say, you know, the Office of Congressman so-and-so, this way. But if you go down there and walk in there and say, well, I want to talk to Congressman so-and-so. Well, I wouldn't walk in there for starters. I'm probably on so many lists that if I walked in there, I would probably, they probably have like an alarm go off. And we don't want any pictures of you anywhere near our office. We're not allowed anywhere around it. But even you, dear listeners, who maybe aren't on 6 million lists, and you go down there, you say, hey, you know what? I just got a ticket. You know, I don't know. I just paid taxes, and I think this IRS code is a bunch of BS. I'm going to stop by. I see a sign. I'm going to stop by my congressman's office and tell him I think it's bullshit. You might get to talk to an intern, maybe. Some college girl working for free. You might get to talk to them. Your congressman ain't going to be there. If he is, he damn sure ain't going to listen to you. But if you APAC and you call, he's going to be, yes, sir. Yes, sir, boss. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, boss. It's funny because it's a virus. It's a computer virus. People have it in their heads. And they, it, even when they're faced with the truth, you know, because they have computer viruses that be like that. They're designed to defend themselves. You know, like after your computer has the virus and you realize, you're like, man, I must have clicked on some link or that thing that I thought was I was getting for free. You know, this free software that's going to make my life better. Ever since I downloaded that thing, my computer ain't acting right. And you're thinking, I think I got a virus on my computer. So you say, well, you go online. You're like, I got to find me something, some kind of software to download and get this virus off. And some of these viruses will have it where you can't do that. You try to click on the thing to download the virus program, the antivirus program to get rid of it, and it won't let you. The virus is like, no, I got shields. You can't delete me, buddy. You're not going to download this program to get rid of me. I'm busy mining Bitcoin on your computer, and I'm not going to stop. People, they got the democracy computer virus downloaded in their heads. And if you try to point it out, the defense programming kicks in. Must vote for Trump. Must vote for Trump. It will change everything. If we can save America, if we vote for Trump, I've always said this because you will too when you get old enough. For those of you who are younger, well, maybe you won't because the system's probably going to collapse by the time you're my age. But you live old enough. I laugh at these laptops. All these walking laptops that have this virus on them. You know, some of them older than me, and they're like, we got to get these politicians out of here. We got to replace them. Like I said, I read normie articles, and they're so close. You know, they just almost get it. If the people would just quit voting for these guys, we wouldn't be in this mess. It's a form of victim blaming. It is. It's a form of victim blaming. I get it. It's hard to wrap your minds around it. Once you do wrap your minds around it, you realize it's actually really, really simple. The only reason it seemed complicated is because the virus is trying to keep you from downloading the program that counters the virus, that neutralizes it, that uninstalls it off of your hard drive. They pretend. They think it's this really complicated thing. I'll read something and this person had really good points. And then they'll go on some rant about how it's the people keep voting for these politicians that keep stabbing them in the back. Buddy, let me tell you, I've seen so many politicians replaced over my lifetime with the latest guy who loves puppies, Christianity, God, and children, and he's going to save America. TV's flooded with them right now. This guy's been endorsed by Donald Trump. He's going to build the wall, stop the immigration, whatever the hell the topic of the day is. It doesn't matter. They just change subjects. And I know I laugh. You know, I do. I laugh. If we just get rid of this guy, you've got to vote for this guy. He's gonna go fight for you. And I laugh. It's all a virus. No, he's not. If he was going to do that, he wouldn't be on your TV right now. He's on your TV because he's already been pre-selected. He worked himself up. He went through the process. You know, been through the background check. Now he's got a shot. I read these stories, these articles, these opinion pieces, and they'll go on these meltdowns. It's the people's fault. The people quit voting for these assholes. Well, I agree with that in the sense that if people quit voting, period. But if you're voting, you're voting for an asshole. I don't care which supposed party team he is on. I saw a story this morning. I'm recording this on Sunday. And I saw a story this morning in Sunak there. You know, the wonderful Tories in Britain. The Tories are swearing that if they win this next election, they're going to bring back the draft. And it was funny because you gotta have to be in the military or you could do some form of community service. If you're a moron, if you're a moron, I don't necessarily mean that in a deriding way. You could just be young and inexperienced. Let's use a better term. You could be a moron or you could simply be ignorant. And there's nothing wrong being ignorant. It just means you don't know. But whether you knew each other, two categories. If you're in Britain and you're either a moron or you're just ignorant, let me tell you, let me break some, because you see this and you'd be like, well, that's okay. I'll do the community service. No, you won't. Your broke ass going to be in the military. That whole thing about you're going to be mandatory drafted into the military so you could be the new Ukrainians getting blown up by Russia, or you could do community service at the National Health Service. No, those little things, those little caveats there, that's for their kids. That'll be for the politicians' kids, the bankers' kids, the rich people's kids. Your kids, your ass going to the Ukraine. You're going in the military. When you look back and you see some boomer politician and he didn't go to Vietnam. He was in the National Guard. He got a waiver because he was in the National Guard and this, that, or the other waiver. You think none of them guys that went and got blowed up and killed in Vietnam, you think none of them wanted the waiver? No, because they don't get no damn waiver. The poor people are going to go get blown up. Just so you understand, when you read that story, that Britain, the Tories, going to bring back conscription. You're going to get drafted into the military. Or community service at the National Health Service. No, you're going to go. That little loophole, that's just for them. You're not going to qualify. I can 100% guarantee. You think anybody would have gone to Vietnam if they could have just volunteered to join the National Guard or take one of those other loopholes that rich politicians or connected and bankers or whoever else their kids got? No. And none of them people wanted to go to Vietnam. And of course, the equally terrible, if not possibly worse, Labour Party says that's a horrible idea because the Tories haven't done enough to build up the military. They renounced the Tories' brilliant plan to draft everybody. But instead of saying we won't draft anybody, they said the Tories have cut the army too much. Well, if they're going to count that, what are they going to do? Let me tell you, that means you're going to get drafted one way or the other. Whether you get the Tories or the Labour Party, you get the same result, and it's the same way everywhere. It's a damn computer virus, and they've downloaded it in everybody's head. They think the democracy is going to do something it ain't going to do. Having a meltdown. Hey, people got to quit voting for these assholes. It doesn't matter which asshole you vote for. You're going to get the same result. Figure it out. It's a virus. Survivors, and we've all been there. It's okay, but once it becomes obvious, you know, Once it becomes obvious, you got to shift your thinking. You know, I always say one thing about being a truth seeker. If you really, you love the truth and you're going to seek the truth, you've got to be able to change your mind. And what that means is if you have a mindset of there's no way I could ever be wrong and I'm never going to accept anybody telling me wrong, then you're never going to get to the truth, because I 100% guarantee you're wrong about something. When you get new information, you're like, man, I was wrong about that. You need to be able to throw that out so you can replace it with the new information. If your first reaction is there's no way in hell I'm wrong about anything ever, then you're going to walk around being a moron and ignorant. You got to be able to say, well, I didn't know. I look back, I went through my youthful libertarian phase, more youthful libertarian phase. Everybody goes through a libertarian phase. I do. I think most people go through a libertarian phase, and it's okay. It's okay to go through that phase. But if you're 60 years old, still rattling on about libertarianism, I got bad news for you. It's not a good sign. But during my libertarian phase, one of the years, I think it was 2012. Hell, I don't remember. It was one of the years, one of the earlier years, that Ron Paul was running for president. And this was one of those hints that I had a virus and I didn't understand it at the time. I did, but I didn't. I thought it was an isolated incident. But I was on the Ron Paul. I was on the Ron Paul thing. This guy. Let's put somebody different. Let's put this guy in here. Because at that time, Mitt Romney was running in the Republican primary. And ain't nobody like that sumbitch. I mean, nobody. It was another one. The Republicans make fun of Biden, like he can't get six people to show up. And yet when they ran Mitt Romney, he couldn't get six people to show up either. Nobody liked that guy. And Ron Paul came over here to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I went. I have never been to a political rally in my life, and I thought this would be fun. I'm going to the Ron Paul thing, and I went, and I was older than everybody there. There was a lot of young people, a lot of college student age people there, and me. I wasn't old like I am now. Obviously, that was years ago. And this guy shows up, this old man shows up, talking about the Federal Reserve and so. And this guy, this place was packed. I kid you not, this place was packed. And this old man had the roof rocking like a rock star. I'm serious, man. You couldn't hear yourself thinking there. People yelling and screaming. It was crazy for this old man up here talking about ending the Fed and all of this stuff. And this guy, there was so much energy in the room. I guarantee you Mitt Romney's ass couldn't have got half that many people in there. And if they did, they would sit in there like a bunch of corpses. The roof was raised. There was this youthful energy. In a non-virus political environment, the youth always provides the energy. Older people provide the ideas and the experience, but if you don't have the youth on board, they bring the energy. They bring the excitement. They're going to be the ones out there beating the streets. They're going to be ones out there raising the roof and providing that energy. You got to have the youth if you're doing anything, politically speaking. That's why in revolutionary movements, they always get the youth involved. Whenever the U.S. pulls one of these color revolutions in other country, you look, and it's always the youth, because that's where the energy is. Now he's raising the roof. This old man, it's like a rock concert. You can't hear yourself thinking there. And in my ignorance, I left this occasion thinking to myself, this guy's going to go somewhere. This is way bigger. The media is ignoring this. This guy, he's packing houses. He's got the youthful energy. People like the message. And nobody likes Mitt Romney. Well, primary day came around and Ron Paul got like less than 1%. And the vast majority of Republican voters in the state of Texas voted for Mitt Romney. And at the time, I said, that's bullshit. I mean, I wasn't as acclimated to the truth as I am now. But even at that time, I said, that is absolute bullshit. There is no way when everybody I talk to is like, well, you know, if I have to, I guess I'll vote for Romney, but I don't like him. You know, when they had another choice, there's no way that like 99% of the Texas primary voters voted for that guy. There's just no way. If it would have been 20% voted for Ron Paul, it would have been more believable. It was ridiculous. And I said at the time, I said, that's BS. But I didn't understand. I still had the virus. Because I thought, that, well, that just meant this was an isolated thing. The Republican Party did some kind of one-off corruption thing and kept him out. No! That's how the program is functioning as it's designed, because it's a damn virus. It isn't there to make your laptop run more efficiently. It isn't there to, give you an easy way to organize your files or whatever they've sold it to you as. It's mining Bitcoin. They're mining Bitcoin. That's all they're doing. It's a virus. People still acting like the democracy is going to represent the people. If these people would just quit voting for these guys. The next time you read an article or next time somebody tells you we're in this mess because the people keep voting for the wrong guys, ask them, how is it? Why is it that every time there's an election, you know, if somebody comes up to you, let me phrase this slightly different. And please, I get on a roll and I have fun with this, and I'm not trying to be crude. I wind up using a little rough language, and I'm sorry for that. Y'all just roll with me. But next time somebody comes along and says, we're in this mess because the people keep voting for these assholes and quit voting. They don't vote for the right people. Ask them, why is it that it's always only assholes on the ballot? How come there's never anybody else? You're in Britain and your choice is the Tories who are promising to draft you to go die fighting Russia. And the Labour Party who's saying, we're not going to say we're going to draft you, but we're going to grow the army. Somehow. But we're not saying the D word or the C word of conscription. We're not going to say that. It's a virus. It is. It's an absolute virus. Yep, it is. It's a virus. You look at Trump during the 2016. I'm not talking about current Trump. I'm talking 2016 Trump and the fun with that. And, you know, look, every system has glitch. Once in a while, no system is perfect. And I do. I think 2016 Trump was a glitch. They underestimated how much support he would get. And it was a glitch. That's why they freaked out for 4 years. They did. They freaked out for 4 years. Because somebody that wasn't 100% under their thumb and under their control was in there. Now, he didn't actually manage to do anything because they control the entirety of the rest of the system. You know? If you got hired on to run a company, they said, we're putting you in charge of this company. And you're the number one guy. But in reality, the number two guy is undermining everything you do. And everybody in the company is loyal to him and ain't nobody going to listen to you. You ain't going to finish and you ain't going to get nothing done, are you? You know, you just set up for failure. The system still kicked in and protected itself. But they still freaked out because he was. I think that 2016 Trump was just a hiccup in the system. But 2016 Trump isn't 2024 Trump. And now he's just trying to make a deal. We've talked about that at length. And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, people hit me up, you know, they in that personality cult thing. They're in that personality cult and they're like, you know, well, be sure and get down there, you know, when the time comes. You're going to be out there voting for Trump, aren't you? And it's just like, I don't have the virus. I didn't wear the mask and I am not taking the vaccine and I don't have the virus. Not voting for the legitimacy of the system. The virus is not on my hard drive and I'm not about to download the damn thing again and pretend like something's going to change. Did I see all these political ads? Vote for this guy. He loves kids, family, and Jesus. He's going to stop crazy Biden and Harris. It'll be different this time. I'm not re-downloading the virus. Not. I saw a story. We're going to get into the Christian specific segment in just a bit. But I saw a story the other day. It's not the first time I saw the story. And they said, you know, well, how did they put it? Because the media has to try to prop up legitimacy for the system, obviously, because they are a part, a key element of the virus, of the system. And it was something that the story was something along the lines of, you know, Trump's support is not as, you know, would these polls reveal that people are not necessarily happy with the choice of Trump or Biden. Of course, then they went on to frame it like maybe they want Nikki Haley, or perhaps Mitt Romney should run again. Maybe instead of Biden, they should run that Newsom guy from California, or Chuck Schumer, or whoever the hell else. In other words, they try to frame it as the people aren't really happy with these two choices. They want some other choices. When I think in reality, what they're actually worried about is more and more people are understanding and they're starting to purge the virus off of their systems. And the people are understanding it doesn't matter who gets in there. This does not represent me, and it never has, and it never will. I say, well, if you fail to vote, no, if you don't vote, you are, in a sense, voting. You're saying the system is not, your vote is saying, your lack of a vote is a vote saying that this system is not legitimate. I'm not playing along with this charade any longer. And they need that legitimacy. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if enough people start refusing to vote and it really starts making just blatantly apparent that the system is illegitimate. I would not be surprised if they passed a law and said you had to vote. You got to participate in the democracy. They just force you to give them an air of legitimacy so they can see everybody voted for me. Wouldn't be surprised. A show like this, we could get, they could pass a law and say, this discussion we're having today, it undermines our democracy values of who you are. And you could be sentenced to 6 million years in prison or some crap. Does it sound far-fetched? Doesn't sound far-fetched to me. Might have sounded far-fetched to me 10 years ago. Doesn't sound far-fetched to me now. Anyway, stay virus free. Stay safe. Like they used to say during the COVID thing. Stay safe. Don't get the virus. Don't get the virus. If you've got the virus, get that thing off your hard drive. They're lying to you. It doesn't do what they're claiming it does. We're going to wrap up with the first part of the show. Get into the Christian specific segment. We got to keep on rolling. Y'all know what to do. Get in there. Fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon at the Parish of the Patriots. Let's start off this week looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's do verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Even though that last part of that kind of wraps up and makes it kind of self-explanatory, the previous part, I believe it's real easy to read that and maybe miss the point. When he talks about, when he starts listing off, don't you know, none of these types of people will inherit the kingdom of God. I think it's real important to understand what he's actually saying, in that it doesn't mean have you anybody who has ever done those things. It means if you are those things. The difference between have you ever done it? Because if you go through this list, I guarantee you pretty much every one of you's probably, you can come across at least one thing listed there. And I'm sure that's not the full comprehensive list. You can come across something there that you can say, oh no, that's me. So does that mean you don't get in? There's a difference between have you ever done those things and are you those things? Again, it's worth noting that it's said here, it's written here, the people who are these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what's the difference? I think the answer to that lies in getting right back to the fundamental understanding of why we're here, why we're given the amount of time that we are given, and to really wrap our minds around and understand that the amount of time that we are allotted, that the Lord has blessed us with, is finite. When you reach the day of the Lord, which, as I've said before, everybody will see the day of the Lord. It's not some way off day, because when you leave this world, you leave this realm of time, you'll enter into the day of the Lord. When you reach the day of the Lord, you know, what are you? Who are you? How have you spent the time? This list we just read off of those who will not inherit the kingdom of God, it cannot mean anyone who's ever committed these things, because that negates the whole point of why we're here, the whole exercise. We're here to start from somewhere and improve to, you know, being at a better place. It can't be if you've ever done any of these things on this list, then you might as well just throw your hands up and give up because you can't get in. It means don't be that when you meet the Lord. How are you living your life? How are you? Where are you at the end when you come to the day of the Lord? Now, here's one of the tricky caveats to that. We don't know. And they say that it's written, you know, the day of the Lord's like a thief. You know, if you knew what hour the thief would come, you wouldn't let your house get broke into. You don't know when the day of the Lord. And again, it's another one of those lines that people read and they think they're talking about literally when Jesus comes and ends the entire exercise and returns and you see him in a cloud of glory. But remember, this also applies to death. You don't know when death is coming. Death comes like a thief in the night. You can get in your car and be driving to work tomorrow and death is going to be in the seat with you and you don't know it, but it's your last ride. Death comes like a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is the same, because again, when you hit death, you will be at the day of the Lord. You leave this realm of time. Once you step into the realm where time does not exist, the realm of the Lord, you are at the day of the Lord. Now, what were you? We are given the time. We have the time to spend, to correct ourselves, to grow, to spiritually, to come to understand God as best as we can. But we also have to always bear in our mind, we don't want to be wasting this time because it's short. Even if we live a full life, it's short. Trust me, it's short. But yet at the same time, be warned, as it's written, you don't know when the day of the Lord is coming. It's not like Jesus is just going to appear in the sky and catch you doing something. You don't know when you're going to die. You could get in the bathtub or you get in the shower and slip and break your neck. The day of the Lord just came for you like a thief in the night. You didn't know it was coming, did you? And yet here it is upon you. Now, what type of person? Who are you? When you died, when you meet the day of the Lord, if you die today of death riding in the seat with you on your, you commuting to work with death. Death is commuting. You in the carpool lane because there's two of you in the car, you and death. You and death are commuting to work. And you die on your way to work. Who are you when your time is up? Because that's it. Once the time is up, you're done. You got your allotted time. It's over now. Who are you? Are you a fornicator? Are you an adulterer when you meet the Lord, when you hit the day of the Lord? Granted, maybe if you would have had more time, you might have had a chance to work that out. But that's not how this thing works. You don't know. Don't squander the time you have. Don't waste it. Dedicate yourself as much as you can to growing and coming to understand him and maturing spiritually, because you don't know when the thief is coming. You don't know when death's going to be riding with you. You don't know when the day of the Lord cometh. You don't want to be these things when it ends. It means you've squandered your time and you are these things as listed off here. Doesn't mean you ever did those things, because nobody's getting in if it just means, well, once you've done any of the things on this list, you're off, you're scratched, there's no point. It just means that's not who you want to be when you finally reach the end and you don't know where the end is coming. Always bearing that in mind. Don't waste your time. If you're dealing with something and you know, well, you know, I'm dealing with this and maybe struggling with it, don't get lackadaisical. Don't get complacent with it. Don't give up the struggle. Keep struggling against it and working to improve and become more of a man of God in this time that you've got, so that you're ready when the day of the Lord comes. Don't get complacent and embrace sin. Don't let it be who you are. I think this brings us to another point. Be really careful how you define yourself. And as an addendum to that, Don't let others define for you who you are. Be careful how you define yourself, and don't be cautious. Don't let others define who you are. You'll notice that this world, this society, loves to tell you who you are, doesn't it? In fact, it always seems to pertain to sin, doesn't it? This is who you are. Embrace who you are. Why, if you embrace who you are, and you're happy with that, you know, this is a great thing. This is a great accomplishment. You accept yourself for who you are. This sounds soothing, doesn't it? Right? Heck yeah, I'm so at peace. I've accepted myself. This is who I am. But if you've accepted your faulty, sinful self for who you are, you've allowed someone else to come along and tell you, this is who you are. Don't struggle against it. Don't try to do better. Don't try to get closer to the Lord. Don't try to mold and shape yourself into a better form, into a better being. Don't do that. Accept who you are. Why, this is just who you are. Embrace who you are. Give up the struggle. Remember, we were talking on a previous show, you're this life like you're in the boat and the river is a constant current. They're whispering in your ear, why bother rowing? Just go with the current. It's so much easier. It's so much easier. Just relax. Just go with the flow. Embrace who you are. Accept yourself. This is who I am. And again, their definition for you of who you are is always going to come back around to being something to do with sin. We're fixing to go into our entire quote-unquote Pride Month, where you're encouraged to be proud of who you are. It sounds really nice on the surface, doesn't it? But yet, if you were tricked into being proud and content with who you are all the way up until your day of the Lord, then that's who you are when you meet the Lord. And you've got a list here that says, that's not what you want to do. It's not where you want to be. Now, it's worth pointing out, as always, to understand that you do get points for effort. Okay? Because you're never going to be exactly perfect. You're never going to be exactly where you want to be. It's going to be a struggle up until that moment. You don't have it in your head that if you haven't somehow perfected yourself by your day of the Lord, by the time you reach your day of the Lord, that means you failed. You're always going to be a work in progress up until the moment you breathe your last. God does give you, I do believe, God gives you points for effort. Whole point of this time is the effort that you put in. You run the race. You're rowing the boat. You're putting in the effort. You do get points for that. You're in the middle of the struggle, and your day of the Lord comes. Well, you didn't quite get where you wanted to be, but you were involved in the struggle. You were struggling against it. You were thinking about it. You were contemplating it. You weren't asleep in the boat. You were putting in the effort. God gives you points for effort. You don't want to be complacent. You don't want to just listen to the lies of the world and say, yo, no, I'm good to go. I'm good to go just like I am. I'm content with this. I'm going to sleep in the boat. I'm not going to paddle against the current. That's unreasonable. That's too much work. That's too much effort. Again, understand, you're going to be involved in the struggle up until your day of the Lord, up until the moment you leave this world. You're going to be involved in struggle. Don't get confused and think that the struggle is some sort of sign that you're failing. I've just been struggling with this sin so long, and I've just been struggling. I can't seem to be making any headway. I'm struggling. I'm not doing any better. It must mean I'm failing. As long as you're struggling, you're doing what you're supposed to do. The moment you just say, well, I'm good with this. I'm totally cool with it. Why should I struggle against it? Then you're in trouble. If you're engaged in the struggle, you're doing what you're supposed to do. Now, this kind of leads into something else I thought we would get into, and that is how this society, it rejects. How do I want to put this? Where once in a traditional society, aging, the elders. You read like in the Old Testament, they gathered the elders, because in these older traditional societies, the elders were held with respect. The elders were held with respect because they had accumulated, it was assumed they were accumulated a certain amount of wisdom and understanding because they'd been alive longer. In this quote-unquote society we live in now is the opposite. Youth is celebrated. Everything is about youth. And you see people who are older and they reject aging. People reject aging. They do. You see these people and they're running around acting like they're young people. And there's a certain understanding that youth, the term youthful indiscretion, young people are going to make more mistakes because you're young. That's not putting you down. It's just understanding that you don't have the experience. If you start a job for the first time, you don't have any experience. You're going to screw things up. Don't get disappointed. Don't get discouraged. When you start a new job, you don't have any experience. You're going to screw things up because you don't know what you're doing, really. I mean, you might have a basic idea. That's why they hired you. But you're going to screw things up because you haven't got any experience. But the longer you're at that job, they're going to hire you on and make you the lead guy running, running the department right out of school because you don't have any idea what you're doing. But if you're there for 30 years, you're probably going to wind up in charge of some other people because you've built up enough experience. Youthful indiscretion. You're going to screw things up because you're a young person. That goes with the territory. But as you get older, you're supposed to have some experience. Imagine, we'll stick with our working at a company analogy. Imagine somebody that's been with the company 30 years, and it's like, I remember having this joke. We used to have this joke, about people coming to work at a place, and it's like, he's been here 3 years. It's his first day. Really? Yeah, he's been here 3 years, but every day is this guy's first day. This is his first day on the job. Guy been here 3 years, and every day it's like his first day on the job. You ever work with somebody like that? I guarantee you probably have. You don't want to be that guy that's been there 30 years, and yet every day is his first day on the job. There is such a thing as youthful indiscretion because you don't have any experience, but yet what we have a lot of in this society, because as people age, they reject it. And we'll get into why I believe that is here in just a moment. But they reject getting older. So it's like they should be at a point in their life where they've built up some experience and they should have some wisdom. And yet they're still doing youthful indiscretion. They 40, 50, 60 plus years old and they still running around. Youthful indiscretion. That was cringe. You run into some old person, my age or older, and they yapping at you about their girlfriend. Girlfriend? You old. What do you mean girlfriend? Youthful indiscretion when you're old. Where's the wisdom? Where's the understanding? This society rejects it. This society celebrates youth. And as such, that's what everybody clamors for. Wisdom and understanding is rejected. Instead, you're supposed to embrace the indiscretions of youth. Now, assuming death ain't riding the car with you when you're youthful and you're making your indiscretions, your mistakes, you're going to have a chance. Hopefully, you're going to have the time to work through that, come to understand that those are mistakes to begin with, and improve yourself. But if you're 60 years old, look, the clock is ticking. What the hell are you doing? You ain't figured it out by now. Sadly. It's sad because you're supposed to, as you get older, you're supposed to gain wisdom and understanding. But if you don't do that, you just become an old fool. A lot of old fools. You can see them on a regular basis. People reject aging, though. People want to reject aging because accepting your aging is accepting your own mortality. When you're young, one of the benefits of being young is to believe that your own mortality is a day way off somewhere. Again, that's a misconception because you never know when death's riding in the car with you. But when you get older, you're faced with the reality that even if when you get in your car today, you're riding by yourself, so you got to stay out of the carpool lane. even if you accept that, it's still short. You know, it's still short. In 20 years, if I live, if it's God's will that I should live another 20 years, I will be at or just past the average age of death in this country. 20 years. In other words, if I live another 20 years and die, nobody's going to say, he died so young. They'll say, well, that's about right. He's on the average. He dead now. 20 years ago was 2004. That was like yesterday for me. Mortality is close, and people see this, and they say, no. They want to turn, they want to run away. I've had this discussion with people before, and they get upset when I speak lightly of my own mortality. You don't know, you might live to be really, really, really old. And they misunderstand. I'm not being depressing like I can't wait to die. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just, part of gaining age and wisdom is to also accept your own mortality and understand that it's coming. And you want to be ready for that. They reject aging because they want to reject their own mortality. They want to pretend that the day of the Lord isn't going to come today. It ain't going to come tomorrow. And it ain't going to come in 20 years because 20 years ain't that far off. Well, how far are you going to live? How long are you going to live? You see this obsession among the wicked, the wealthy, the elites. And they have this weird thing where, you know, you probably read these stories where they think they're going to transfer their consciousness into like a computer program or some ignorant shit, you know, and it is. It's just stupid. That's not going to happen. It just somebody's scamming them out of money. Yeah, I'm doing research right now. Keep you alive forever. How much money do you want? They're afraid of it because once these people that have so much in this world, once they die, that everything they have will be taken from them. That scares them to death. They run around and they want to do this whole thing where they're trying to live forever. And again, just your average person, they all, on average, people want to reject aging. They want to reject their own mortality. They don't want to face it. They don't want to face it. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to think about it. Inject their own mortality. But ask yourself this. You know, let's say, for instance, if you took somebody and you said, boom, snap your fingers. And instead of this person only living another 20 years, they're going to live 200 years. They're going to live to be 258 years old or whatever the hell. What would be different? You know, this time in life is really short. You understand that the older you get. This time in life is really, really short. But it is, you know, if you live your life out like you're, you know, like you said, it doesn't get cut short. It's enough time. You're going to be who you're going to be. In other words, by the time you're 60 years old, you pretty much already are what you're going to be. It wouldn't matter if you were going to live to be 260. What's going to be different? What are you going to figure out at year 128 that you ain't figured out in year 60? If you ain't figured it out in year 60, you're an old fool. You're going to just be an older fool at 260. What would you be achieving? You know? We're going to live, if we could only live to be 200 years old. And what? You can be just as big a dumbass at 200 years old as you are at 40 years old. You know, the time you have, if it's not cut short, is basically enough. You're either going to figure it out or you're not. If you ain't figured it out by the time you're 60 years old, you ain't ever going to figure it out. Wouldn't matter how long you had. You're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. You're just going to be an older fool. You got enough time. If you waste it. You know, Jesus said, and I'm doing it off the top of my head. You know, Jesus said, if you can't be trusted with a little, who's going to trust you with a lot? If you squander the little bit you got and manage it poorly, nobody's going to give you a whole bunch so you could screw that up too. If you squander the little bit of time that you're given here, why should you get the kingdom? Why should you get more? You're a fool. You know, you've got the time you've got, and you squander it running around trying to pretend you're still in your teens when you're retirement age. What, it wouldn't make a damn bit of difference if you lived to be 200 years old. You are who you're going to be. You are. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know it's always a work in progress. I'm talking about people that aren't doing the work. You know, they're happy. They're good with everything. They just wish they could keep doing it longer. And it's to no accomplishment. The whole purpose of being here isn't to buy a bigger house. It isn't to have a nicer car. It isn't to whatever the hell. It's to grow. It's to get ready. It's to be prepared for the real thing that's coming. This is nothing. This world around you, all of this crap that people run around and pretend is so important, it doesn't mean anything. 300 years ago, people were running around and thought everything that was going on at that time was the most important thing ever in the history of the world. And no, we don't even know what the hell they were talking about because that's long ago and it's long gone. It didn't matter. Good times come, bad times come. It doesn't matter. It all fades away. Things that people think are so important. You go to an old graveyard or look at an old picture and look at those tombstones or look at those photographs of people that were alive, you know, 100 and something years ago. There was a stage in that person's life. They were dealing with something and they thought it was just the most, oh my gosh, agonizing, dreadful, important thing ever. Or perhaps the thing they wanted was something. If they just had that, they'd have the world by the short ones. And if they could just, they're dead. They've been dead a long time. Nobody even knows what was so important to them at the time because it didn't matter. They thought it mattered, but No, it didn't matter because they long dead. Nobody even knows who they are. Long dead. Thought the thing they struggled over just laid awake at night worrying about. Nobody even knows what that was because it's nothing. Outside of your spiritual growth and the reason you're here, none of this other stuff, I mean, you have to deal with. I'm not saying you just ignore the things in the world around you and live in la la land, but I am saying, understand that long term, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You got to do what you got to do while you're here. There's things in this world you have to do, and you try to leave a better world and society for those that come after you. Yes. I'm not saying you sit around and do nothing, but I am saying understand. Don't get so wrapped up because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nobody, 150 years from now, nobody's going to know what you did or care. They're not even going to know who you are. That's just how it is. On the average, you're given enough time. You know, on average, you're given enough time. If you're 60 years old, if you ain't figured it out, the odds that you are going to figure it out are very small. You just kind of, it wouldn't make no difference if you're going to live to be 200. You're going to be just, if you did that, if you snapped your fingers, in 200 years, person be the exact same, pretty much the exact same person they were at 60. They're going to suddenly get an epiphany, a revelation. They're just who they are. They had this amount of time, and that's who they are. No? I mean, it wouldn't make any difference. But people get obsessed. You could live to be older. To what end? No? To what end? We are given a finite amount of time in this world. Don't squander it. Understand it's going to come to an end. Take care of who you are when you get there. And it's going to work out. Yeah. It's going to work out. Keep paddling that boat up the stream. It will work out. You keep up the work. Give up the struggle. You know, Paul said, I ran the race. I have a lot of favorites. I always say one of my favorite, like, you've got a lot of favorites. How'd I do? You know, but when it got towards the end, he said, I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. I didn't give up. That needs to be your attitude. You're running the race. You just don't give up. You run the race. Don't give up. Fight the good fight. Do what you got to do. Fulfill the purpose that you got on this world. And again, it's an ongoing process till the day it ends. And then that, there you are. You know, just do that. And it's going to be fine. Don't worry about, but I wasn't, what if I'm not going to be perfect? You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to have the whole project you completed. That project's going to be incomplete. This is a part of the faith. Understand that we're undertaking a project that's never going to be done. Imagine that. You know, if you look at these great architectural projects that were undertaken in history, the Great Wall of China or whatever, it took generations to do that. Imagine working, you know, working and slaving, doing this hard work on something that you're never going to see completed in your lifetime. You're doing your part, you're putting the bricks in place and you're designing things or you're laying mortar, whatever your job in building this great architectural structure. And yet the whole time you're putting all this work in, understanding that you're never going to see it completed. It's going to be completed generations from now. There will be a completed great project. You're not ever going to see the completion of this project. But you put the work in anyway. Why would you do that? Because you're doing it in faith. You're undertaking this great project and you're building the Great Wall of China or whatever. And you're undertaking it and you're doing so in the faith that the generations that are going to come after you will complete it. And that someday this thing will be done. This is akin to our faith. We're never going to be done. We've undertaken a project. We live our lives. We spend the time that God intended us, the way God intended for us to spend it, working, laying the brick, laying the mortar, building ourselves. But also because it's in faith, we have to do so in faith because we understand this project is not going to be done in this lifetime. In this temporal time, this amount of time we have, we're never going to be done. It's always going to be an ongoing project because we're shackled to our sinful natures as long as we're in this world. That's why it cannot be a completed project, why we're here. And yet, just like a builder who's building a great architectural thing that won't be completed in their lifetime, they're never going to see it in this lifetime. We undertake this project knowing it's never going to be done in this lifetime. You're never going to be finished. You're never going to go, whoop, I'm ready for the day of the Lord. I'm 100% done. No, you always are going to be laying the brick and the mortar and trying to complete it as far as you can. This is why, just as that person building that thing has to do so in faith that those that come after him are going to finish it, we have to do our faith. We have to do our work, rather, in faith that it will be completed when our time here is done. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed the whole show. I hope you, of course, always enjoy the Christian-specific segment, the highlight of the show. I appreciate you joining us. I hope you'll get a chance to check out everything else we've got here Monday through Friday. We've got something new up every day. It's always a lot of fun. Hope you'll get a chance to check all that out. And as always, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.